So yesterday we began this sugya. We saw the episode the Gemara describes of the Arma'a and Rehuda ben Beseira, and the brilliant, deft way in which Rehuda ben Beseira prevented the Arma'a, prevented this Nachri intruder from continuing to eat Karban Pesach under false pretenses. And we had seen, we had developed yesterday a list of five kashas on the sugya. In order, number one, why did they initially believe the Nachri? Why didn't they check his bona fides? Why didn't they check for ID in advance? He had gotten away with it for years. And then I looked into him after Rehuda ben Beseira had lured them. in seeming contradiction to Gemara Yevamah Daf Mem Vav, that indicates that a person would not be nemen to say Yisrael ani. You would need to demonstrate that in some way. And that question we dealt with. Number two, why didn't the Nachri seems to have known something about Karban Pesach? Why didn't he know this detail that the aliyah of a keves, that the tail of a sheep is a murim rather than basar, which is eaten by people? Number three, why didn't Rehuda ben Beseira himself come to Yerushalayim? Ali L'Regel, Karban Pesach. Number four, why was the Nachri Chayiv Misa? For what crime was he executed? And number five, so the close of the sugya, the Yerushalayim responds to Nitzivan with a coded message. How come they encoded that message? So yesterday we dealt at the end of Shir somewhat extensively the first kasha, and that was Tosis Dibra Mascho Va'ano, the question of Nemanus, Rov, and Chazaka. Let's go a little out of order, and let's first deal with question number four, and then we'll come back, if not today, then Sunday, Mirtz Hashem, to questions two and three, and then the reason for going out of sequence will hopefully become clear as we go weiter. So the question of why exactly it is that he was Chayiv Misa, what did the Nachri do wrong? What did the Nachri do wrong? So the Minchas Chinuch notes in Mitzvah Yud Beis. Mitzvah Yud Beis is the Isur against having a Nachri eat Karban Pesach, or even someone who's begun the Geirus process. The Chinuch writes, a Geir v'toshav. A Toshav, Sefer Chinuch writes, and let's bring it up on the screen. You don't have it in front of you. A Toshav, the Sefer Chinuch writes, is the Adam in Ha'umo Shekibu Alav Shlo Lava Vodazara. The Ochel Nevelos. He's a non-Jew, a Nachri, who accepted not to worship Avodah Zarah, but he's still Ochel Nevelos, still eating treif. Now, that's what we often refer to as a Ger Toshav. He's a Nachri who accepted to follow the Shev Mitzvah Beinach. Shev Mitzvah Beinach are binding, are obligatory on all non-Jews. But here you have a non-Jew who pronounced, who certified that he plans to fulfill his obligations under Shev Mitzvah Beinach. He's Ochel Nevelos, still eating treif. He wasn't Makabel Tayrak Mitzvahs. He's not a full ger. But he articulated his intent to abide by the Shev Mitzvah Beinach. His ger Toshav has certain privileges in Eretz Yisrael. However, he is a non-Jew and he may not eat Karban Pesach. So the Torah says, Toshav v'sachir lo yochabo. So Toshav is a ger Toshav, as Sechir V'chinuch just explained. And Sachir is a ger shemo v'lo tovo. A Sachir in this context means you have a non-Jew who began the process of gerus but has not yet completed. He underwent Mila, but he hasn't yet undergone the subsequent Tvila. So even though he's begun the gerus process, until it's completed, he does not have Kedushas Yisrael. Until it's completed, he may not eat Karban Pesach. That's the mitzvah slosa say that appears to be relevant here. And the Sefer, the Minchas Chinuch, is a very fascinating comment. Beginning of Ozbez, Minchas Chinuch writes that the smog, the sefer mitzvahs gadol, writes that the halav hu al ha'ochel. The smog was a Ashkenazi Rishon, Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi, and he is the sefer. It was written by Moshe Mikutzi. The sefer mitzvahs gadol is a sefer mitzvahs, is a sefer halacha and a sefer mitzvahs. One of the few Ashkenazi sefer mitzvahs. Most of the work in terms of minyan ha-mitzvahs, trying to count mitzvahs, was done either in Bavel or done by the Sephardi Rishonim. It's a rare Ashkenazi sefer mitzvahs, the smog. He's also famous, the smog. Some historians point out that he's the first Ashkenazi Rishon to introduce Torah's HaRambam into Ashkenaz. He's the first Ashkenazi Rishon to quote the Rambam extensively. And typically he agrees with him, although here he actually does not. The smog is of the opinion. The smog is of the opinion. The alavu al ha'ochel. Whose iser is this? Toshav v'sachir lo yochel bo. The toshav and the sachir, these non-Jews who are close to Yahadus, who have an interest in Jewish culture, maybe even an interest in becoming gerim, they have not yet undergone a full gerus process. They remain non-Jewish, and therefore lo yochel bo, he should not eat Karban Pesach. So the smog says, a simple reading of the pasuk, is that if he does, it's his avera. Who the mitzuveh in this din is the nachri himself. The pasuk says the toshav should not eat Karban Pesach. The sachir should not eat Karban Pesach. The nachri is not supposed to eat Karban Pesach. That's what the Torah says, and that's how the smog understands it. So if a nachri does indeed eat Karban Pesach, in this story, the arma, who did the avera? Says the smag, it was this nachri. The arma is the one who did the avera. However, the sefer chinuch goes on to point out, this minchas chinuch goes on to point out, what's the sefer chinuch's position? Does he agree or disagree with the smag? What would you say? So you should know, as you begin to look at the sefer chinuch, you should know that in general, the Sefer HaChinuch is a Sefer HaMitzvahs, as I've mentioned to you in the past. One of the unique things about the Sefer HaChinuch is that he's anonymous. We're not sure who wrote it. It was probably a Talmud or a Talmud of a Talmud of the Ramban, but we're not sure who. Another unique aspect of the Sefer HaChinuch is that it's organized, it's sequenced al Seder HaParshios. So it starts with a Peru Vuku that's in Brachos. Then it has Milah in Mitzvah number 2 that's in Lech Lecha. And then Giranash is mitzvah number 3 because that's in Vayishlach. And then you have the whole series of mitzvahs in Bo. You see here, this is Parshas, we're up to Parshas Bo. It's organized on Seder HaParshas. A third thing about the Sefer HaChinuch is what he does for each mitzvah. He does both halacha and hashkafa. He'll give you both halacha and hashkafa on each mitzvah. He typically will have four parts. Typical mitzvah. The Sefer HaChinuch will have four discussions. He opens, He opens with a basic definition of the mitzvah, a basic description, a basic definition, a formulation of the mitzvah, as he does here. And then he'll move on to part number 2, is usually the Sharashe HaMitzvah. What are some of the Hashkafic elements, the time of Dekra? What are the ideas behind this mitzvah, where the themes of the mitzvah, how the mitzvah is supposed to shape us, attitudes, behavior, midos, and so forth. Part 3, which does not appear here, is Dinei HaMitzvah. I'll give you a rundown of some of the basic, at least some of the basic questions that the Gemara grapples with. And then finally, he'll end with a close, a conclusion that tells you, the mitzvah applies to whom and what's the onus if you violate it. So looking at the Sefer HaChinuch here, whose mitzvah is this? Does the Sefer HaChinuch agree with the smag? You can. There are clues both in the beginning and at the end, in the first section and the last section. What do you see? What would you say? Give me a hand. Everybody say, raise your hands. Give me one finger if you think the Sefer HaChinuch agrees with the smag. Two fingers if he disagrees, and three fingers if it's not really discernible. One finger if he agrees with the smag. Two if he disagrees, and three if it's not clear. Again, the smog, the Minchas Chinuch, just quote, the smog says that the that the Isser is an Isser upon the Nachri. So one finger of the Chinuch also holds that, two if he doesn't. Let's see. Let's see what he holds. Literally, what do you hold? What do you hold? What do you hold? So see, we say we have a machlokes. So let's take a look at the evidence. Anyone who thinks the Sefer HaChinuch agrees with the Smag, you want to give me a raya?
He himself says, Yish remez raya l'smag.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me be clear. I don't mean the Minchas Chinuch. Oh, we have to clarify a very, very important point. Thank you for pointing that out. This, on this page, there are two svarim. This is a little tricky. This is very, very important. I'm glad you pointed that out. Very important point. If here I have the Sefer, the actual Sefer in front of me. You see that on the cover, it says, Minchas Chinuch. And as a matter of fact, on the top of the page, it says, Minchas Chinuch. But here's what's tricky. This Sefer is a combination of two separate Svarim in one. Just like you know that on an Amud of Gemara, you have the Gemara from the Amoraim, and you have Rashi and Tosfos from Rishonim, and so on and so forth. In the center, in the block, bold block print, in the center, that is the Sefer HaChinuch, the Rishon. Around the side, in Ksav Rashi, that's the Minchas Chinuch and Achron. An absolutely staggering Talmud Chacham, whose name we do know, Rav Yosef Babad. They tell you on the title page that he was the Rav of Tarnopol, and he was an incredible Talmud Chacham who wanted to write a Sefer on Kol Torah Kula. So how you can write a Sefer on Kol Torah Kula? He decided if he writes a running commentary on the Chinuch talks about all the Tariq Mitzvahs, because it's a Sefer on Mitzvahs, so then he'll have a chance. Minchas Chinuch realized, Rav Yosef Babad, he'll have a chance to talk about every single Erev Halacha, because he'll write something about each of the Tariq Mitzvahs. As a matter of fact, every once in a while, the mitzvahs which are discussed extensively by other svarim, some say, you know, ein darki laharich, I don't write so much about the things that everyone else already wrote about. He wants to write about the kachim, the taurus, and the zrim, although he writes plenty about Shabbos also. He wrote a whole mini sefer going through every single one of the lamentas malachas in the course of Parshas Yisro. So there are two separate svarim here. The Sefer HaChinuch in the center, the Rishon, someone from the school of the Ramban, and the Minchas Chinuch, the Achron, around the side. So we were just before, thank you for pointing that out, very important to clarify. So before we began to read from the Minchas Chinuch, Hinei b'smag sham nir dalavu ala ochel. Right. But what does the Sefer HaChinuch hold? The Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch. What would you say? Yeah, Aaron?
I would say he holds like the Rambam.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So Aaron is speaking with a sensitivity to Hebrew. Le'echol is to eat. Le'ha'achil is to cause someone else to eat, otherwise known as to feed. So you see, even the title is Shalom Na'achil min ha'Pesach le'ger v'toshav. We should not feed. We should not serve Karban Pesach to ger v'toshav. And in the section one of the Sefer HaChinuch itself, Shalola Ha'achil mi Besar Pesach Ger V'Toshav. Right? So I told you before, the first segment of the Sefer HaChinuch and any mitzvah is always a basic description of the mitzvah, and there he says it. Shalola Ha'achil. And if you go down, I told you the last segment is always the coda, the conclusion of every mitzvah, and it tells you to whom does it apply, when does it apply, and what's the punishment if you violate? So here you go, on the next page. Okay, this mitzvah also say applies only when you have Beis HaMikdash, only when you have a Karban Pesach. It applies to both men and women. But which men and women? You mean Jewish men and women who might violate and feed it to the non-Jew? Or you mean non-Jewish men and women? So he writes for it quite clearly. Ha'over aleha ve'he'echil la'elu. If you violate this, how would you violate, what would violation look like? You fed Karban Pesach to one of the aforementioned non-Jews, over alav. The ain loka alav, shein b'maisa. You violate alav, but it's alav shein b'maisa. What means alav shein b'maisa? Because again, as he said, it's hechil. The alav is on the Jew. The Jew is providing Karban Pesach to the non-Jew. So that's not necessarily alav shein b'maisa. I mean, it could be. If I put it into his mouth, so then it's alav shein b'maisa. But more likely, I invite him to the table, I serve it, and then an achri takes Karban Pesach on his own. So it's a lav on the Jew, and therefore it's a lav she'ein bo masa. So as you said, and that's as a matter of fact what the Minchas Chinuch says explicitly as well. Let's take a look back. Hine b'smag sham, the beginning of Oz Beis, now in the Minchas Chinuch, in the Ksav Rashi. B'smag sham near dalavu el ha'ochel. You read the smag, you get the impression that it's an Isser on the Nachri, who's eating Karim Pesach, which, as pointed out before, is the simple reading of the Chumash. Aval haram, Ram is short for Harambam, and Halacha Zayin, and Harav HaMechaber, the author. Who is the author? So, important tip. Whenever you read a Mefarish on any given Sefer, HaMechaber is whoever he's commenting on. So, if you see in a Magen Mishnah or Kesef Mishnah, HaRav, the Mechaber is a Rambam. But here in the Minchas Chinuch, the Mechaber clearly is a Sefer Chinuch. They hold that Lav Koi Al HaMachil. It's an Easter on the Jew who's providing. And the footnotes, those who printed Machon, the Chevret Machon Yishalayim, or we printed Minchas Chinuch, the footnotes, they point out that the Tosfos Rosh as well. Tosfos Rosh has this discussion, Yivamos. It begins by assuming, like the Smag, that it's an Easter on the Nachri himself. But the Tosfos Rosh says, Dartemu, how can it be? How can it be? And that's the point that the Minchas Chinuch, who did not have a Tosfos Rosh in Yivamos, he goes on to make that point himself without the Tosfos Rosh. He said, that's really sort of surprising. Divras Mag Tzrichim Iyun. And that's what he works on. It's a surprising smag. It's a surprising smag because where was the Torah mitzava them? On the other hand, you have this pasuk. Okay, yeah, the pasuk says v'toshav v'sachir lo yochal bo. The pasuk is addressed to the nachri. The nachri should not eat karban pesach. But on the other hand, okay, but we don't find a list of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. We don't find the shvari list of sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. But he goes on to say, yes, we do find in our Gemara, L'chor yesh remez raya, interesting language of the Sefer of Minchas Chinuch, a hint of a raya. It's not a real raya, but it's a hint of a raya. Ar sugya, mevur b'psachim gilma beiz, ahu arma, ar sugya, salak v'achil, etc., etc., ashkuchud arma v'kadlu, why was he chayiv misa? The question that we asked when we learned the Gemara, what was his capital crime? Yes, you should make sure, don't allow him in, don't allow him to continue to eat Karim Pesach, but a capital crime. So he suggests that maybe, according to the Smag, Tosha V'Sachir is a capital crime. The rule in general, mitzvahs Bnei Noach are a very short list, but the Gemara Sanhedrin says that every single item on that short list of Sheva Mitzvei Noach is potentially a capital crime. There are more capital crimes over the course of the Tariq Mitzvahs that apply to Jews. Sheva Mitzvei Noach, a short list, but all of them are capital crimes. So the Azharasan Zuhi Misasan, that's the phrase that the Gemara uses, that every crime on the list of Sheva Mitzvei Noach is a capital crime. So the Sefer HaChinuch the Minchas Chinuch says, okay, so maybe the Smag would say, and this too, Toshav Asachar Leochabo Azharasan Zuhi Misasan. So that's one, that's his initial raya, his remez raya, a little bit of a raya, an indication, like the Smag, that the Toshav Asachar is a lav that devolves upon the Nachri himself. And maybe that's, and in terms of the question we had asked, the first suggestion for what was the Armah's capital crime is the capital crime of eating Karim Pesach, the capital crime of Toshav Asachar, according to the Smag, that's a crime for the Nachri. Of course, what would the Rambam say? The Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch, we just saw the Sefer HaChinuch, and he quoted the Rambam, that's the Isser Laha'achil, not an Isser Le'achol. It's the Isser on the Yisrael who provides the Karim Pesach, not an Isser on the Nachri. Nachri didn't know anything wrong. He doesn't have Kelchus Karim Pesach. I do. If I allow a Nachri to participate in my Karim Pesach, that's my chet. It's not his chet. So then Chozer V'Neir, Hadra Kushli and Duchter, our question is back. So question number four in our list of five kashas. So how come the Nachri was Chayiv Misa? What was his capital crime? So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered by that. In other words, isn't this a riot to the smog? How would the Rambam, the Chinuch, respond? He says, no, there is a solution. And he had a chance to see the muscle ode. He goes on to say two flavors of an idea. He says, this was some sort, he says, forget about adding an eighth item to the list of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Forget about adding an Iser for a Nachrit Ikar and Pesach. Let's look back at the core list of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Maybe the Nachri's participation in Karban Pesach on a false pretense is violate one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. He says, indeed it did. It violated Gezel. And the Michetz Chaim goes on to say that could be true in one of two ways. Either it was Gezel Gavoa or Gezel Hedyot. Either he was stealing from Ribbono Shel'Olam or he was stealing from people. Why is the Sefer HaChinuch getting so fancy? So a couple of Chevres probably trying to answer a kasha that some of the Chevres asked yesterday. I think Shruli and Yosef had asked this yesterday during Seder. To say it's Gezel, so Gezel is on the list of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, but how can you say it's Gezel? He didn't run in and steal the Karban Pesach from them. I mean, they all consented to let this fellow join the Karban Pesach, perhaps for years. He wasn't stealing anything. How can you call it Gezel? I think that may be part of what's driving the added detail that the Sefer HaChinuch provides. Sefer HaChinuch points, excuse me, the Minchas HaChinuch. I'm making that mistake. The Minchas HaChinuch points out there's a machlokas Rashi Tosas in Maseches Kiddushin about the following. The Gemara says that the Kohanim, Kohani Kika Achlu, Kika Zachu Mishulchon Gavoa Kazachu. The Gemara says when the Kohanim get their part of the carbon, they get to eat their part of the carbon. Here. Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. They're getting a piece of the carbon from the divine table. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you permission to eat it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'isha Eino Shelo. Du Mamon Gavoa. It's not really yours, the Gemara says. A Kohen's going to take some of the Besar HaKarbon that he received, and he's going to, instead of eating it, turn around to a young woman that he's dating and say, Aret Mekudeshes Li B'Vesar Karbon Zeh. I'm not sure that's necessarily the most romantic. I recommend a ring. Again, if it's it could be a very fine cut of meat, and hooray, it's a davar kadosh. It's a davar kadosh ad l'maod, b'sar karbanos. And if it's b'sar kachshim kalim, those of you who have Baruch Hashem picked up the habit of reviewing Ezra Makom in the morning, you'll remember that one of the differences between kachshim kalim and kachshim kachshim is by kachshim kalim, the chelak ha-kohanim is nechal l'kohanim l'nesheim l'vneim l'avdeim. And the Eishes Kohen can also eat Chazav Vashok. Eishes Kohen can also eat the Chelak HaKohenim in the Kachim Kam. So it's perhaps very evocative. He says to her, Harei Mekudesh, this is something you'll now be able to enjoy. I'm inviting you to join me in Kedushas Kuhuna. Okay. Whether romantically, it's programmatically, it's a good idea or not a good idea to Mekadesh a young woman with Besar HaKarbon, the Gemara says it doesn't actually work because it's not yours. The coin doesn't own the Besar HaKarbon. It's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the right to eat it. Ki kazachu mishulchan gavo kazachu. Here's being zoch from the divine table. As a matter of fact, Rav Shechter likes to quote the discussion Evan Ezra in Hilchos Kiddushin. Let's say it's a human table. You're sitting next to a young woman at someone else. You're both guests at someone else's table. And you strike up a conversation. Such an amazing first date that you decide to do something very precipitate. You're going to be Mekadosher on the spot. Not a good idea. Okay, maybe it wasn't. Maybe this isn't the first time you met her. Okay, maybe you're ready to get married. But again, you're sitting at someone else's table. You're guests at someone else's table. And you take some food off the table. You say to her, Harei Mekudeshes Li B'Papers Elu. Harei Mekudeshes Li B'Cedarhurst Sandwich Zeh. So again, not the most tasteful. I recommend a ring. But is it valid? Is it valid? So that's actually discussion in Poskim. When the Baal HaBayis invites us to eat and puts out food, is it Hefker? So when I take it off the serving plate, it's mine. Al pidin, it's my property. So then I can choose to be mekadesh a young woman with it. Or you say, no, it's not mine. It's still his. He just gives me the right to eat it. And look, the chair that I'm sitting on isn't mine. He's lending me the chair. He's allowing me use of the chair. He's allowing me hishtamshus of the chair. But the chair doesn't become mine. So the food also, obviously, once I put it in my mouth and swallow it, he has no interest in retaining ownership of the food. But kol zman that the food isn't yet eaten, that's a discussion Evan has there at a human table for guests at another human being's table. Who owns the food? Makasha, a young woman with the food for the table, mikudeshes or ainah mikudeshes. That's a discussion about a human table. But the Gemara says, Meshulchan Gavoa, if you're being zochen the carbon from the divine table, that means it's not really mine. Hashem gave me the right to eat it. Oh. So that's the Gemara. Kohanim, ki kazachim Meshulchan Gavoa kazachu. The Minchas Chinuch quotes that the Gemara says about Kohanim, there's Machlokas Rashi and Tosus, how about Yisraelim? How about the part of the meat that's not going to the Kohanim? I bought an animal, and I'm bringing it as a carbon shlomim. Or, I bought an animal, and I'm bringing it as a carbon pesach. And I eat part of that animal. So you say, no, well, that I own. That's mine. Or she say, no, even there, it's mishulchan gavoh kazachu. Maybe when you shech the carbon, it becomes property of the Ribono Shlomim, and so to speak, becomes probably a hektish, and I just have the right to eat certain parts of it. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch, let's take a look back, the Minchas Chinuch points out, according to Rashi, it's Macholus Rashi and Tosus, Ladas Rashi in Kiddushin, Bavakama, according to Rashi, that he had quoted earlier in the previous mitzvah, Shev Eisliel, the Kachem Kal, Macha Shchita, Filo Chel Kabailim, Gam Kenavi Mamun Gavoa. Rashi holds that this idea of Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachu even applies to the Chela Kabbalim, even the part the Yisraelim eat. Rakmi, it's really Mamun Gavoa, really belongs to Hektish. Rakmi Shulchan Gavoa Kazachu Lachila. The Torah gives the Ribon Shalom gives the right to eat it. Lakashbo Zeishaino Shalom. If I took my piece of carbon pesach, and I gave it to a young woman, Hare Mekudeshes Li B'Basar Zeh, according to Rashi, Ein Mekudeshes, it's Mamun Gavoa, it's not mine, it's Shel Hektish. Until you shecht it, it belongs to me. Once you shecht it, it belongs to Hektish. Im Kein Nis, is according to Rashi, Geshmak. So why is this Machlokas Rashi and Tosus about the parameters of Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu relevant to us? Says, I'll tell you why. So then it's Gezel. The Nachri ate Karim Pesach. Whose Karim Pesach was it? Achar Shechita, according to Rashi. Whose Karim Pesach was it? The Ribbono Shelams. Mamun Gavoa. Keshvah gives the right to eat it if you're supposed to be eating it. But the Nachri is not supposed to be eating Karim Pesach. So he says, the fact that there's an Isser containing eating Karim Pesach means it's Gezel. Nirash goy ochel kachim kalim shlomo pesach over gamke and gezel. Ki ben och mitzuval gezel. The gezel who won the shepherds of ben och. Mali gezel had your gezel gavoh. Why does it matter? Gezel is not just stealing from other people. Gezel calls to be stealing from Hektish. Yisrael, zachlu achman alechol. If you have a Jew who's qualified to eat karm pesach, so then the Rosh Hashanah gives him authorization to eat. But otherwise not. If I come into your house and eat food that you permit me to eat, that's not gezel. If you don't allow me to eat the food and eat it anyways, that is gezel. So that's what the Sefer Chinuch says, the Minchas Chinuch says. One solution to what crime did the Nachri commit is he violated the Isser of Achilas, of Gervas, of Toshav V'Zachir Le'Yochabo. He violated the Isser of Goysha Ochel Karben Pesach. According to the Smag, that's the Isser on the Nachri. According to Rama and the Chinuch, you have a second solution. Rashi says that Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu applies even to the Chelek Habaylim, like Besar Karben Pesach. They said, look, that means Besar Karben Pesach, according to Rashi, he belongs to Ribon Shalom, he belongs to Hektish. And if you're to eat it, then you're authorized to eat it. The Nachri was not authorized, not mutter him to eat it, therefore he was not authorized. So it's not what begins as a problem in Isra Veheter becomes also a consequent problem of Dini Mamanus. It moves from being Yaradeya to being Choshe Mishpat. It's Gezel. because it's Mamon Gavoa. And therefore, he violated Gezel. Maybe he was Chayiv Misa for having violated Gezel. So we solved this fourth kasha according to the Smag, and we solved it according to Rashi. But how about if you don't hold like the Smag and you don't hold like Rashi? How about if you hold that the Isra is not on the Nachri, and you hold that Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu like Tosvos is limited only to the Chelek HaKohen, the Chelek HaBailin remains the actual ownership, financial ownership of the Bailim. So what are you going to say? So then he has a third solution. The truth is we can solve it even according to Tosis. Tosis who disagrees with Rashi and holds Chelek HaKohen Avi Mamon Gavoa. It's only the Chelek HaKohen which is Mamon Gavoa, but the Chelek HaBailim remains normal property of the owner, but still, what are you going to say? But still, you say, okay, so it was Gezel from Hedyo. He stole from the rest of the Chabura. We had said before, maybe the Menachos in the back of his mind is wondering, it was consenting. They all allowed him in, he paid for it, and they had no problem with it. So where's the Gezel? So either the Gezel is in the fact that it doesn't belong to them anymore. Achar Shechita belongs to Hektish. It's Mamon Gavoa. And Rebbe Shalom is not Mazaka, this fellow to eat Karm Pesach, he's not supposed to eat Karm Pesach. Alternatively, you'll say, no, it's Gezel Hedyot. You're right, it belongs to the Bailim. Gezel says, he paid for it. Yeah, but he paid for it under false pretenses. That was, that was Mamash Mekachtos. They sold him a chelik in the Karm Pesach on the assumption he was a Jew. He presents himself as Zevulun from Tzipori. But he wasn't Zvulun from Tzipori. He was an Arami from somewhere else. So false pretenses, that was Gezel Hedyot. Okay. So those are the solutions to the fourth Kasha. Again, either you'll say, how come they gave him a Chiyuv Misa? So either you'll say, like the Smag, and here's the Smag in the Maror Mekomos, Shlo Yochal Tosha Besachar Pesach. He should not eat Karm Pesach. So that would have been the Minchas Chinuch Zdiyak. Now, didn't say Shlo Lahachil, Shlo Yochal. Okay, so maybe the Smag means that, and maybe it's a capital crime. Or you say it was Gezel because Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, like Rashi, that the entire carbon is Mishulchan Gavoa, is Mamon Gavoa. Or you'll say like Tosis is not Mamon Gavoa, but it's Gezel Hedyot. He stole from them by buying something under false pretenses. But what remains are some more questions. What remain? Let's talk about questions 2 and 3 for now, for the next couple of minutes. Question number 2, Binyamin and some others had raised, how come the Nachri didn't know about the din of Aliyah? He seemed to know something about Karm Pesach, so how come this had slipped by? And question number 3, a very, very pressing question, is where was Yehuda ben Becerra? So Rabbi Osa, let's take a look at Tosis. You have the Gemara in front of you? Let's take a look. I think both questions 2 and 3 are addressed by Tosfos Me'alia. Let's begin to take a peek. We'll read the Tosfos, and we'll notice that he's addressing these questions, and perhaps you will be left curious about some other things. The second to last Tosfos, give him a base. Me'alia mikasafu lach. So Tosfos begins with a two-line section, and then moves on to something else. Afa gav digidi ein alia so kreva. Tosa says, even though a goat, if you use a goat, the tail is not karev agabim mizbeach. The status of the tail depends on what sort of animal you bring. As Rashi had said, in a sheep, in a keves, the tail is a murin. But in a goat, in a gedi, the tail is part of the basar hanechal livnei adam. It's basar hedyot. And what sort of animal can you bring for Korban Pesach? So the Torah says either or. You cannot bring a cow, but you can bring either a sheep or a goat. That's what the psukim say. So Tosis is again asking there's an implied kashi here. Why is Rabbi Huma Bisera so convinced that this is going to work? The guy could have said, yeah, sure, eat the tail. Sure, eat the tail. Yeah, I have the tail of the goat every year. I love the tail. So Rabbi Huma Bisera didn't know what to expect. Why was he so convinced that the fellow would say, no, they don't give me the tail? So the Tosa says, well, number one, Rov Pischeim Hayatle. You get the impression, he says, most of their carbonous psachim were a sheep. How did Tosas know that? Either they're suggesting maybe that was true, or more likely they're pointing out that if you learn the Kachim Prakim later in Armasechta, you hear a lot about sheep and very little about goats. So while it's true, and the Chumash says you have the right to bring either a sheep or a goat, you get the impression on the Mishnah is that practically speaking, most people were makriv a sheep. So he says, the Tosas says, okay, maybe Yerim Bevisera was a fallen Rove. He was playing the odds and he won. Oh, Shema Higidlo. Or maybe there's a little bit of a pun there. A very, very subtle play in words. How do you know it wasn't a Gedi? Maybe Higidlo. Maybe he had also Gimel Yudalid. Maybe he had told him. And other Tosas is very subtly pointing out there probably was more conversation. There was more to the conversation than what appears in the Gemara. The Gemara has a handful of words between the Arma and Rehuda ben Beser, but there must have been more context. He didn't just randomly walk over to the chief rabbi and say, oh, by the way, here's what happened. There must have been a conversation, but the Gemara really gives us the key points. So it could be in the course of the conversation he already mentioned that he has a sheep. So that, in a sense, is maybe kasha number 6 in the sugya. Why is Yehuda ben Beseira? Tosis is kasha here. How come Yehuda ben Beseira was assuming it was a sheep? And the answer is either Rove or the Nachri already told him, but in an unreported part of this story. But it's also pointing out perhaps, an answer to Binyamin's kasha. Question number 2. And how come the Nachri did not know the din that the Aliyah is not Nechal, that the Aliyah is Kreva? So it could be, the simpler answer might be, he never learned Chumash. He just learned by doing. He had shown up to Yerushalayim and he watched what people did. So he didn't necessarily chap every last detail, but he knew what to do. Alternatively, it may have been a little confusing because, as Tosis is pointing out, the Aliyah sometimes is eaten. And maybe he even saw people eating goats. His chabur had a sheep. But then he may have seen others who weren't burning the Aliyah on his back because they had a goat. That's already very, very subtle. So he may not have been attuned to that subtlety, Sheba subtlety, that depending on which species of animal it is, Aliyah is either Kreva or Nechels. Okay. Then Tosis moves on to raise what we were calling kasha number 3. He wasn't Ola Regel. What's going on with that? So Tosis says, well, Yeshlomo Shalhelo Karka. Ozakinaya, Shane Yachalalach Baraglov. There are people, as a matter of fact, there are at least 15 different categories of Jews who are potter from Aliyah Regel. The opening mission in Chagiga is a long list of people who are potter from Aliyah Regel, including Zaken and Yochel Achbar. You have to be able to make the trip on your own 2 feet, to walk up the Har Abayis to the Beis HaMikdash on your own feet. If you're not able to do, don't have the physical capacity to do that, you are potter from Aliyah Regel. Tosis also mentions, Tosis is referencing the Gemara. The Gemara makes a suggestion that if you don't own karka in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps you are not chayv in Lila Rega. And there are other categories as well. There are many different groups of Jews are possible in Lila Rega. So he says, okay, maybe you remember Sarah was that he was an older man who was possible in Lila Rega for some reason or another. But then there's something missing here. Because Tosis's kasha was Aliyah LeRegel. Halil HaRegel, that's very nice, but we're talking about Karban Pesach. Halil HaRegel three times a year. Once a year, there's not only mitzvah Halil HaRegel, mitzvah Karban Pesach. And so Tosfos says, well, De Pater mi Pesach kimo me re'iyah. Yeah, and these people are Pater from Karban Pesach, the same way they're Pater from Halil HaRegel, from re'iyah. Now that is very difficult. The footnote on the side, the Masor Sasha tells you to look at the Mishnah Melech, the opening of Hilchas Karban Pesach, where he says, this Tosas is super schwer. Why super schwer? Well, for starters, it's not automatically true that everyone who's Pater from Halil HaRegel is Pater from Karban Pesach. And the simplest proof is women. Women are not Chayv in Halil HaRegel, but they are Chayv in Karban Pesach. Half the Jewish population belies the assumption that everyone who's Pater from Halil HaRegel is automatically Pater from Karban Pesach. We know that women are Chayavos, despite the fact that also Mitzvah on Grama, women are still Chayavos in Karban Pesach. We have a drasha for that. So who's to say that necessarily the other categories of Jews who are Pater from Halil HaRegel are necessarily Pater from Karban Pesach? That's Tosfos' first teretz. And again, in terms of Halil HaRegel, he had phrased the question of Halil HaRegel. Halil HaRegel we can deal with, but why wasn't he coming for Karban Pesach? That's more difficult. You look into other Rishonim, other Bai Tosfos. Yeah?
Could we say that was Tosfos' second answer? The first answer is Shul Hayalo Karka, the Yin Olenim, and the second answer is Ozok and Hayashenu Yachol Halik, the Ragel Depotter in Pesach. So that's answer one. And answer two is, or perhaps he was old and unable to travel, and therefore he was potter. So it's two separate things. No, then there's a third answer.
What's the point of not having karka? The point of not having karka is the Gemara suggests that someone who doesn't have karka is potter from Halil HaRegel. If it just
the karka would be he didn't own land in Eretz Yisrael,
and therefore
the second, and therefore.
He don't land Eretz Yisrael, and therefore what?
He couldn't make it.
Why?
Because it wasn't a possibility for him.
Travel. Take 2 weeks and travel.
But not because he was physically.
I understand. No, these are two different versions of the same subversion of the same teretz. The first teretz is that he, for some reason or another, Yehuda Meseira was Pater from Halil HaRegel. There are many categories of people Pater from Halil HaRegel. One of them is Mishein Lo Karka, perhaps. Another one is Zaken. Another one, and then there are other people. People who are blind, perhaps. There's a long list in the Mishnah, first Mishnah Chagiga. And then there are other people like Ein Lo Karka who don't even appear on that list. And so there are many categories of people who are Pater from Halil HaRegel. The Tosfos is saying, Yehuda Meseira must have fit into one of those categories. And adding a very important leap and a questionable leap that if you're Pater from Halil HaRegel, you're therefore also Pater from Karban Pesach. So you're right. It could come in other flavors. You also could have said maybe he was blind or whatever. But the overall teretz number one is that he fit into one of those categories of Peturim Mer Halil HaRegel plus the Hanacha that if you're Pater from Halil HaRegel, other than women, those who are Pater from Halil HaRegel also Pater from Karban Pesach. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two is very mysterious. Inami Netzivin Chutz Laretzi. Or teretz number two. You know why he wasn't being Ola Regel? You know why he wasn't bringing Karban Pesach? Because Netzivin, where Yehuda ben Beseira lives, which we know from the last line of the story, it's in Chutz Laretz. He quotes Arayas. He quotes a Sifrei, Medrash Halacha and Devarim, and a Targum on the Chumash Bereishis, both of which indicate that Netzivin is in Chutz Laretz. And therefore, Tosfos spends a lot of time proving that Netzivin is in Chutz Laretz. But Tosfos spends no time explaining the relevance of that information. It's in Chutz Laretz, and therefore what? As though Tosfos is assuming that a Jew who lives in Chutz Laretz is Pater from Karban Pesach. But where would that come from? So that's what we're going to explore in Mitzvah next time. The unspoken part of this Tosfos, why Netzivin being in Chutz Laretz is somehow a Patur from Karban Pesach, is we're going to pull one thread that's going to bring along a whole Yesod with it in terms of the halachic significance of Eretz Yisrael. And that is something, you have an array of Mar Makomos waiting for you to explore the aspects of Eretz Yisrael, the halachic aspects of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shechter has a beautiful shir. He talks about the seven, not two dinim, not even three dinim, but seven dinim in Eretz Yisrael, seven halachic aspects of Eretz Yisrael. And one of them in particular is going to be highly relevant to helping us understand this Tosas. We'll pick up with that in Mirtz Hashem next week.